but Pastor Tim, we've known each other a long time. When you're in the AFLC, we're not a huge group, so we get to know each other through pastors' conferences and the like, and we knew each other. I feel like we really got to know each other. I had him out to my second church in Illinois, and it was right about the time of the Northwood tornado. You guys remember that? He was pastoring in Northwood, and so he came out and he shared with us about, it was something along the lines of, you know, trusting God through times of hardship, you know, and kind of focused around the tornado, but really got to know Tim then, and then he was my predecessor at Northwood. I followed him there, and so we've been good friends, but appreciate him being with us here today. And if the scripture lesson sounded familiar, you know, Tim last listened to my message last week. He goes, "You really slaughtered that thing." Because I have to come and I have to, no. Really what happened is I was looking through the lessons assigned to for this Sunday in the church here. And usually I pray through them and one will stand out to me and I'll preach on it. And one stood out to me and I think it stood out because he was going to preach on it. I don't know. But if it sounds familiar, he'll be hitting it from a different angle today. But we welcome you with us today.
Thank you.
And I'll hand this off to you. We had a little glitch in the system, so give me a minute, and I'm going to get Tim's slides up here
so
you can follow
him?
Along. Yep, that'll advance
All
it.
Right.
Just give me a second, and you'll see him pop up.
It's good to be with you. I appreciate the invite and to be able to come. I don't think I've ever been in Beulah, North Dakota before. So I mentioned it at my church, and I had one parishioner, one member, who was really excited because she's from Hazen. She goes, "You're going to my home turf." And so we were talking about it. She was a miller. I believe they were dairy farmers in Hazen. So Laurel Miller was her name, and she became a Berg. So now they have other cattle and sheep. So I might even have some pigs. But anyway, good to be here with you and appreciate the opportunity. I've got, as soon as we come up, I've got some pictures here. All right, I think we're live here. Just to introduce my family to you here. Here's my family. I have three boys, a daughter-in-law, and of course my wife. My youngest is 17. My oldest is 24. So I had to think about that for a minute. So, and he's married, and then our 22-year-old is in college right now. So that's my family, and everybody has a question about, I wonder how old he is. So let's just get that out of the way. This last month, my church nailed me, because I tease everybody about age, and so I guess really high, that way they correct you, and you find out how old they really are. So they got me. Speed limit 55. That's obsolete now. There's not even a speed limit of 55 anymore. So I guess that means I'm obsolete. I don't know. I found out that, the pancake place, that they 55 and over, you get a discount. So somebody told me that. So I'm okay with that. And then this is our neighborhood dog. This is our neighbor's dog, actually, Jagger. He is a golden doodle, and we just love him. He comes over and he spends all kinds of time with us. Of course, we give him treats and stuff. And best way to have a dog is for it to be the neighbor's. Those of you who are grandparents, forget that. I won't go that way. My kids, I got to tell you a story about this dog. It's a golden doodle, so they're pretty smart. My kids were trying to teach it how to ring our doorbell so that when it came over, they'd know that it was there. They could come out and play with him. Well, we're having, in my house, we're having the elders and their wives over, and we're having a Bible study. We got done with the Bible study. We're talking about prayer concerns for our church, and I see out the window Jagger running around out there, and he's kind of coming into our lawn. And once you know it, about 30 seconds later, the doorbell goes off. And I thought, no way. And then one of the elder's wives takes out her phone, and here it was, her ringtone on her phone. It sounded exactly like our doorbell. And she took out her phone and said, "Oh, good." She goes, "What do you mean?" I had to explain about the dog. And anyway, good to be with you. How many of you... So yes, I am 55, by the way, so we got that done, born in 64. I'm the end of the baby boomers. So the title of the message is Born Free. And How many of you remember that movie, Born Free? I think I have. Yeah, there we go. Born Free. Raise your hand if you remember that movie. I think it came out in 1966. And it was a couple that raised a lioness that was orphaned at birth. And they raised this lion up. And as the lion became an adult, they thought, oh, boy, it really would be better for her to be out in the wild, and they're not supposed to be tamed animals. So then they had to try to figure out how to teach her how to hunt and how to survive out in the wild. Well, eventually, long story short, she's accepted by a male lion, and off they go. And this couple is wondering the whole time, did we do the right thing? Is she dead? Did we do the right thing? And several months later, Elsa comes back to their camp with cubs. And they play with Elsa all day long, and then Elsa and her cubs go off, and then the song comes on. You guys know it, right? Born free as the grass grows, as free as the wind blows, born free to follow your heart. And then it goes, got to get the other verses here. Live free and beauty surrounds you, the world still astounds you. It goes on, and then at the end is, born free and life is worth living, but only worth living because you're born free. Yeah. And as a little kid, now we watched TV in the basement. We had a room in the basement. That's where we had our big TV. And big TV now, I mean, compared to nowadays, it was about this big. So anyway, we would as a family watch TV down there. But we had this littler TV up in our living room, and we never watched TV there. But when Born Free was on as a little kid, I wanted to watch Born Free. The rest of my family didn't want to watch it. And so I was afraid of the dark. But for Born Free, I would go upstairs. I would sit by myself in the dark living room, watch Born Free as a little kid. And last spring or early summer, I was flipping through the channels on cable TV, and Born Free was just starting. I thought, I haven't seen this for decades. I can't even remember everything. And so I watched it. And I got to the end, and, you know, of course, the song and all that's inspiring. But I get to the end, and I think, why did I want to watch this so bad? It's a documentary. I thought, what? As a little kid, really? I don't know what I was thinking. But anyway, I suppose I like the idea of the lion, and I like the song and all of that. But there comes a question with this. Are we born free? Are we born free? In John chapter 8, verses 30 to 32, which we read just a little bit ago, I'm going to read again. Says, as Jesus was saying these things, many believed in him. What was he saying? Well, he's saying that he was like the light of the world, and he was telling who he was and what was going to happen to him. He's the Son of Man, and there were many who believed in him. And then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's an implication here that if you are not in the Word, then you are not free. If you are not in the Word, then you are not free. And people will immediately go to, but what about free will? Everybody has a free will. And what about being born good? We're born into innocence. What about all that? And there's an overriding belief that people are born good and with a free will. And that is the humanistic philosophy. And by humanistic philosophy, I mean human-centered. It's focusing on the human and what a human can do. Back in 1946, Dr. Benjamin Spock wrote a book called Common Sense Book of Baby and Child Care, and it was printed in 1946. Since then, over 50 million copies have been printed in 42 different languages, and it promoted and cultivated a sense of entitlement in children. Instead of stressing the importance of teaching self-denial and respect for authority, Spock emphasized accommodating children's feelings and catering to their preferences. Using his approach, parents began to feed the self-indulgence of their children instead of instilling self-control. Homes became less parent-directed and way more child-centered. And as parents elevated their children's freedom of expression and met their natural cravings, guess what it produced? It produced defiance. It produced a demand for gratification to the point where children saw gratification as their right. How many times do you see commercials saying, "You deserve this"? You deserve this. Where's that come from? You deserve this. And so children see gratification as a right. Parents redefined love. They redefined love as indulging their children. All I want for my children is for them to be happy. Not realizing that meeting their every whim is not going to make them happy later on. And so, from that humanistic philosophy, many believe that we are born good. Children are born good. Parents, you just got to not ruin them. You got to let them do what they want to do and let them grow and let them pick their own religion. You know what happens when you don't teach any religion to children? They don't care about religion. And I'm not talking about just any religion. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that's what the humanistic philosophy is teaching. But what does the Bible clearly say? I'm going to go through several verses here as to what the Bible says here. Now, David, King David, was God himself said, "This is a man after what? After my own heart." And in Psalm 51, David wrote a lot of the Psalms, most of the Psalms. In Psalm 51:5, he says, "Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me." That's what the Bible says. In Ephesians 2, 1 and 3, the Apostle Paul says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins and were by nature children of wrath." That's the nature that we're born into. In Romans 3, 9 through 12, it says, "For we have already charged that both Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There is no one who seeks God." Think about that. No one of their own avolition seeks God. No one seeks God can just decide, "I'm going to seek God today." They don't. It's saying no one seeks God. "All have turned away. All have become worthless. There is no one who does what is good, not even one." Boy, that just... So who does good? According to that? Nobody. Not even one. Romans, the Apostle Paul, you know, he wrote a lot of the New Testament. Apostle Paul, he took his pride in persecuting Christians, those who were Christ followers, and as he was traveling, Jesus appeared to him, and he was blinded, and he became a believer in Jesus Christ because he met him on that road. And it changed him, and now he became a preacher and a preacher to the Gentiles. And he ends up, God inspires him to write, well, what all did he write? Romans, 1st and 2nd, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, possibly Hebrews. He wrote a lot of the New Testament. This is what he says. In Romans 7, 18 to 19. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there's no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I want to do. So he's struggling with a sinful nature. Romans 3:23, you all know that one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's not only that, it's not only our sinful nature that we struggle with, but look at what 2 Corinthians 4:4 says. In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Now, not only are we dealing with our sinful nature, we're dealing with an evil force that's outside of us also. Like, oh man. So, how can we be free? I mean, Scripture's clearly saying, no, we do not have a free will. We're not born with a free will. We're not born into this world innocent and good. So how can we be free? How can we be free? In John 8:31, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you continue in my word. In Romans 3:20, says, the knowledge of sin comes through the law. That's the word of God. The word of God involves law and gospel. The knowledge of sin comes through the law. You guys know the commandments, I'll bet. I'll bet you can help me out here. I am the Lord thy God. You shall have no other gods before me. I want a show of hands. How many of you place God first and foremost in everything you do, and everything you say, and everything you think? You stop and you think about what God would want first and foremost before you do anything, before you say anything, before you even think anything. How many of you do that all the time? Raise your hand. There's one little one. He heard raise your hand. So he's like, I thought if any adult or somebody old enough raises their hand, I'm going to go straight to commandment number 8. What is that one, do you think? You shall not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You shouldn't lie. How about the second commandment? There's different ways of numbering the commandments. We put in, you shall not make a graven image. We include that into the first one, you shall have no other gods before me. And then we go for commandment number 2. We go, anybody know what that is? You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For he will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. So we shouldn't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We shouldn't use his name thoughtlessly. We shouldn't use it as a curse word. We shouldn't use it as an expression of surprise. Oh my! There was a friend of mine who was helping a trucker unload a trailer, and there were these big chains on this trailer, and he so the trucker was up on the trailer, and he had a tensioner, you know, to tighten the chains down so they wouldn't flop around and everything. He was putting all his weight on this tensioner, and something gave way. I don't know if it was one of the chain links or if it was something in the tensioner itself, and he went flying off that trailer and landed hard on the ground. He didn't thankfully break anything, but he was cussing up a storm, and he's starting to settle down, and he said, "God, de trailer." To which Randy, my friend, says, "Do you really believe that?" And the guy's like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "You just asked God to damn the trailer. Do you really believe he'll do that?" And the guy says, "I don't even believe in God." So here you have somebody who doesn't even believe in God using his name in vain, using it as a curse word. It happens all the time. That's just two commandments. The knowledge of sin comes through the law. That's how we realize, man, I don't measure up. I fall short in these areas. Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." Our faith is produced as we hear the word of God. As the word of God comes, that's why Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then you will know the truth." You will know the truth. You'll be my disciples. You'll know the truth. What does Jesus pray in the high priestly prayer? "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." In John 1:1 and verse 14, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then you jump ahead to 14, and it identifies even more who that Word was. It says, "And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Talking about Jesus, the Word, who is God, became flesh. He's full of grace and truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus identifies himself as the truth. And then we go back to the Apostle Paul. Remember, he's struggling with, you know, the good that I want to do, that I don't do. The evil that I know I shouldn't do, that's what I end up doing. And then he says this at the end of the chapter, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death?" You know what he meant by that? The Romans in that time, one of the ways that they would give you the death sentence, I can't imagine this, they would strap a dead body to you so that you couldn't get away from this dead body. And everywhere that you would be, this dead body would be. What happens to a body that's dead? It decomposes, right? And when it decomposes, it gives off certain gases. And those gases smell. They stink. And eventually that person would die of suffocation. He couldn't breathe anymore. They had this body attached to them. The Apostle Paul is saying, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death?" And what's he end up saying? "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You will know the truth. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. John 3:36, I don't know if I have that here, I do, says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will really be free." Some versions say you will be free indeed if the Son sets you free. Now, none of us were born free. There's not a single person here that was born free naturally. Okay? But here's what 1 Peter says, 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope, a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Folks, this is where free will begins. It begins in Jesus Christ. Prior to faith in Jesus Christ, you are in bondage. And the God of this world, small g, is blinding you to that. But faith in Jesus Christ, there is a new birth, there is a new freedom. I pray that you will join me tonight as we look at freedom from sin. Tonight would be a good one. If you have friends who you don't know where they're at spiritually, this would be a good one tonight. Bring them. Will be a clear gospel presentation. But it also will talk about our freedom from sin, that if you've known Jesus all your life, you're going to be greatly blessed. Monday night is freedom from self. I got caught up in bondage to self several years ago, so much so that my wife and I were considering giving it up, our marriage, quitting the ministry. I'm going to share a little bit of that Monday night. I'm going to be personal and vulnerable, but at the same time, you're going to see a freedom from self. We get caught in bondage to self. Tuesday night, freedom to love. What I'm looking at there is you can enjoy life. There's a freedom that allows you to enjoy life. I wasn't enjoying life, and all of a sudden, I had a freedom where I could enjoy life again. Come and find out about that. And then Wednesday night, freedom to serve. How to serve and not just, oh man, I got to do this. How about serve and I'm excited to see what God's going to do. I'm blessed to serve. How about that mentality? And I'm not going to try to force you into that mentality, but if you will come and just listen, maybe God will show you that. Many years ago, I was a junior in high school, and God really convicted me of my sin, and I came to a place where I received freedom from my sin. First time I'd experienced that. And I remember getting a record album. Some of you don't know what a record album is. If you take a CD or a DVD, it's bigger. Okay, pretty soon I can't even use that illustration because CDs and DVDs are like not going to be around pretty soon. So anyway, I came across Keith Green and a record album, and it was the first Christian album I bought. Song on there that really spoke to my heart, and I want to close with this. It's a song, I'm going to sing it. I don't have the accompaniment, never have had the accompaniment, but it's a song from my heart, and it's a prayer. And I'll ask if you will bow with me in prayer as I sing this. Rushing wind, blow through this temple, blowing out the dust within. Come and breathe your breath upon me. I've been born again. Holy Spirit, I surrender. Take me where you want to go. Plant me by your living waters. Plant me deep so I can grow. Jesus, you're the one who set my spirit free. Use me, Lord, glorify your holy name through me. Separate me from this world, Lord. Sanctify my life for you. Daily change me to your image. Help me bear good fruit. Every day you're drawing closer. Trials come to test my faith, but when all is said and done, Lord, you know it'll be worth the wait. Jesus, you're the one who set my spirit free. Use me, Lord, glorify your holy name through me. Rushing wind, blow through this temple, blowing out the dust within. Come and breathe your breath upon us, that we all might be born again.